Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Holson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us this week. Ava, you're here.
I'm here.
Don is incognito. He's not.
He's here in spirit.
He's here in spirit. That's exactly right. We have a big show coming up for you guys. We're going to talk a little bit about what to do when the waters rise on the rivers and lakes. We're also a very odd noodling story. If you're familiar with noodling, that's a, kind of a unique thing. And also, what's going on in Iowa? How's the pheasant outlook look down there? That and a lot more when we come back. Stay tuned. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world.
Whoa. Well, Ava, you're
well, Eric.
Here, and you're not soaking wet from this past week of...
You know, what a crazy week of weather we had here in Red Wing. Now it's hotter than Hades again.
Yeah.
Thick. She's thick out there.
Yes. It's funny, but you're best off just staying outside rather than going in and out to get the cold, the cool
Honestly,
air.
Honestly, though, because it once you feel AC, you're not going to want to go back out there.
No, and it, when you walk back out, it hits you like a brick wall. So it's a sad thing about it. But I will say this. One of the things that really comes out of this, there's a lot of lakes that we're looking to have some moisture, and they're definitely getting it. And the river is no exception. Same here down in Red Wing along the Mississippi River. And, of course, as you go down further, as the water has a tendency to run downstream.
Is that what happens? No.
It finds a low point and keeps moving. A lot of times it stacks up, and unfortunately, Iowa, usually that's where it really hits the fan if we get a lot of water up here. And that's what looks like is going to be happening. But I will say the fishing is... not bad, just understanding what to do. And of course, the biggest challenge comes in when you're looking at fishing a current, any type of a river that has a lot of water from where it's at. You have increased flow, increased elevation, and you have some dirtier water conditions. So it makes it relatively difficult, except for a couple things. It really allows you to separate into those key spots. You're looking for those back eddies. You're looking for those spots that are going to be having that slower water condition and adjusting the jig accordingly, but don't go too heavy. Let that jig float, and those fish are going to be, you'll be able to pick them up. Now, the other area in the rivers, this is a key piece. Look for the slack, complete slack water areas where you have weed growth. It could be backwater, and you literally are going to have the smorgasbord. You're going to find bass. You'll find pike. You'll find... even, yes, walleye in 3 feet of water in that dingy, warm, weedy water, and a lot of different ways to approach it. A couple ways, obviously, jig. Another way to do it is throwing a paddle tail. And one of the nice parts about that is you can throw it a country mile. Wind is not a factor. and you can reel it and pull it through the weeds, generally will be relatively weedless. The other way is if you have the ability and the weeds aren't too thick, that works quite well as a rip and wrap. A rip and wrap, Rappler rip and wrap, what that does, it's got a rattle in it. It works great on the Great Lakes if you're looking at casting to certain areas on islands and rock piles where the big walleyes hang out. I've done it many times, and it is amazingly successful. But what it does is it has the rattle in it that will attract fish. Same thing with the bigger paddle tails. Don't be afraid to go to a 5-inch paddle tail. Go in a white paddle tail. Generally, the shad is something that's going to be a big fish attractant, that type of fish or a bigger minnow that those fish in the midsummer really are going to go for. So really target those fish. Have a plan and just keep hitting multiple spots, but don't be afraid to jump into the, hey, let's do the smorgasbord program. Let's go see what we can find. Because a lot of times you get into that point where it's the, people call it the dog days of summer, but it's really not. It's the fish are biting somewhere. You just got to figure out where that is. And that target species could be everything, literally. If you're catching sheephead, it's still a lot of fun to feel that jerk in the end of it. Because you know what fishing is, don't you?
What?
One jerk waiting for another jerk at the end of the line.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what that is. But it really comes down to having a an ability to catch fish. And if you're catching fish, you know you're getting into the right areas. Don't be afraid to just change up the baits a little bit if you're in an active area and see if that's going to trigger the walleye. So maybe if you're having a hair jig, add a crawler to it. If you're same thing, maybe put a chunk of plastic that holds the skirt of either marabou or hair jig, and it'll slow the fall of that jig. So there's a lot of ways that you can vary up that presentation and make it effective for this time of year. So have fun with it. Prime example, going up to Lake of the Woods in July, I plan on bringing a lot of big paddle tails if we're going to do some vertical jigging, because I know normally we would jig with a minnow. I know if I put a big paddle tail on it, I've done this before, and it's amazing how many big fish you can catch.
Interesting.
And yeah, I only say that once, though. I'm not going to repeat myself.
Right.
It's kind of like when I do the seminars on jig fishing, I only talk about the color of the hair once, and that's deer hair and black, and it's gives off a different UV. And when the water's cloudy, you think, oh, I got to go bright green because they can see it. You got to remember, colors of that type need light to create the refraction and create the color. If you have black, it is absolutely the number one color for fish to see in a dirty water condition. So,
interesting
item of note. So that's kind of a cool kind of thing. Let me jump into this one story quick before we take a break. Oklahoma man strangles his noodling partner to death in the Oklahoma. 50-year-old Larry Sanders reportedly strangled and killed his noodling partner. The two men have been noodling for catfish in the river when they apparently broke out in an altercation. He reportedly struck his buddy before strangling him. Local authorities, he reported to local authorities that he was arrested on an outstanding warrant and taken to jail. So he is now facing first-degree murder complaint. Yeah.
What was the reason?
They got into an argument.
Over what?
Well, he probably took over his noodling spot.
Get your foot out of my catfish hole.
Exactly.
Right now.
You know, I'm shoulder deep and you want to tell me I'm in the wrong spot? Not happening. We'll be right back with more Valley Outdoors.